Welcome into the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you notice, I don't have my typical background music that I usually play at the beginning of every show, and there is a reason for that that I will address here shortly. Listen, I'm not going to gloss over the elephant in the room. It has been a very heavy week for our nation, for a lot of people. And one thing that we promised to do on this show is to never talk about politics, never talk about anything else other than college football, because that's what you are here to listen to. That's what I'm here to talk about. That's what we do on this show, is we talk about college football and we have a great time while doing it. I think it's okay to acknowledge that there is a lot of evil in this world. And it's at times like this that it is important to remember just how far it can go just to be kind to people and the power of prayer. I encourage you guys to pray over our nation. I encourage you to pray over your neighbors. I know for me personally that I'm a very faith-grounded person. That's my why. That's what drives me. And it's important to rely upon that. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe it works. So I encourage you to do the same thing. And while we are sitting here, I'm recording on the day we remember the victims of 9/11. And I apologize because I know that this podcast is going to be airing on Sunday on 102.5 The Game. So I apologize if this is a little late, but I still believe the message applies just the same regardless of the day. Just remember the importance of being kind to people. We need each other. There's a lot of evil, a lot of heavy days, a lot of heavy weeks, and it's important. You never know how far being kind can go. And I just wanted to address that. At the start of the show, I feel like it was very important to not gloss over everything that has happened over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. So, but one thing that we do on this show is we have fun talking about college football. And I really am appreciative of this opportunity to be able to talk about college football because, one, it's my passion, and I'm so thankful that I'm able to do this for a living. And, two, I really appreciate all of you that have listened so far, the interaction that we've gotten. That certainly does not go unnoticed. And we're going to keep this thing rolling. And I have a very fun show in store for today because week three of college football is here. The first 2 weeks have flown by. I have picks and previews just like we do every week. I also have a fresh new week three PK poll, a controversial poll at that. There are a lot of teams that are present in this top 25 that were not ranked last week. I will get to that actually to lead off the show because there are some teams on here that I really want to discuss. So we will do that together. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, please make sure that you do so. That can be found at the Game Nashville Sports Network, wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find every episode of The Air Raid with Parker Kelly there. And also, please make sure to follow me on the socials at Parker_Kelly10. I'm putting out content left and right as the season rolls right along. So without further ado, let's go ahead and look at the Week 3 PK poll. But before I do that, yes, I talked about the AP poll that was just released at the beginning of this week. And yes, I did see the video of Haley Sawyer, who is an AP poll voter, who actually moved Florida up a couple of spots after their unexpected week two loss to USF in Gainesville in the swamp. I'm not going to use this time to trash Haley Sawyer, but what I am going to say is the people who are running the AP poll, this is a direct reflection of the types of people that they allow on this committee, people who do not watch these games, but yet still have a say in where teams are going to be ranked and which teams are not going to be ranked. It's so ridiculous. So with my poll, there are going to be some teams that are going to be left off of this list that might make you scratch your head. There are going to be some teams with very notable logos, some blue bloods in college football that are ranked a little bit lower than you might expect. But I want to emphasize that this week three PK poll, and what I'm going to try to do every week, because I believe that's how polls like this, merit-based polls, should work. They should be based on actual field game results. These shouldn't be based on where you may have had a team ranked in the preseason. This shouldn't be based on which team has the best logo, which team has the most talent. Certainly those talent and things like that, those play into a team's rankings, but I'm looking at on-field results. So that's what I wanted to get out ahead before I release the Week 3 PK poll. Okay, let's go ahead and get into it. So at number one, this shouldn't be a shocker, it's the Ohio State Buckeyes. They were ranked number one in my Week 2 PK poll last week. It's pretty obvious considering their win against Texas in Week 1. I'm not going to outthink the room here. Ohio State is the number one team. And then last week versus Grambling, yes, I know it was Grambling, but Julian Sain looked really good. He almost set a school record for single game completions. I think he was almost 100%. He's 17 of 18. So I'm very encouraged. Ohio State is the number one team in the country. LSU, they are at number two, also the same as last week. Now, they didn't blow out Louisiana Tech in Week 2. They won only 23-7, and Brian Kelly post-game throwing his assistant coaches under the bus, but I'm still encouraged by what I saw from LSU in Week 1 at Clemson. That win, one of the best wins of the early season of college football. I have LSU at number 2. At number 3, we have a new team. The Oregon Ducks, a team that committed light crimes against Oklahoma State last Saturday on CBS. It was a bloodbath. And when a team puts up 69 points versus another Power 4 school and only gives up three points, yeah, that's going to make me kind of raise my eyebrows a little bit. Oregon, I don't believe, is being talked about enough as a national championship contender. So I have them at number 3. And at number 4, the Miami Hurricanes. They move up one spot from last week. Miami, that win against Notre Dame still sticks in my mind. This seems like, at least the early returns, that this Miami team is built different on the lines of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. If they can get an extra added boost from their secondary, I believe this Miami team is going to be a legit national championship contender as well. At number 5, we have Penn State. They dropped down a couple of spots, not because I'm not high on Penn State. I am. If you've been listening to the show since January, we've been talking about Penn State as a national championship contender. I'm still high on Penn State. They just haven't played notable teams like some of these other programs have. And that's okay. Penn State, they have some teams on their schedule coming up. They welcome Oregon to town in a couple of weeks. So we're going to have some on-field results, and we're going to talk about it. But I have Penn State at 5. Okay, here's where things get a little bit interesting. Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Sooners, Boomer Sooner, they are at number 6 after their win against Michigan on Saturday. And I got to say, I've been taking a victory lap all week because I've been talking about John Mateer. I've been talking about John Mateer as a Heisman Trophy finalist. I believe he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And he kind of put the world, kind of put the world and the country on notice against Michigan, scoring 3 touchdowns, 2 via the ground, 1 through the air. I have Oklahoma at 6. Georgia, they fall a few spots to number 7. They were ranked number 4 last week, according to my PK poll. Georgia, they struggled a little bit with Austin Peay on Saturday. Now, I know that game was delayed a little bit due to weather, the kickoff times being moved up and down, but offensively, it just hasn't quite gelled yet for Georgia, and they've had opportunities against some cupcake teams in Marshall and Austin Peay, but now they get a real challenge against Tennessee and Knoxville on Saturday. Don't worry, we're going to preview that game. Florida State, they're at number 8. Listen, Florida State has been a hot riser in this PK poll. I personally was very low, and I'm not going to say very low. I was too low on Florida State because I had them ranked number 16 last week. That was a mistake on my part. So I bumped them up to number 8, and here's why. One, the win versus Alabama in week one. Absolute domination. Number two, they played East Texas A&M this past week. And yeah, East Texas A&M, it's whatever. Like, it's a cupcake on your schedule. But they did what an elite team would do in the fact that they put up 77 points on this team and set a new school record for most points in a single game. So I have Florida State at 8. I'm a believer in Florida State this year. We'll have to see what the ACC championship picture looks like as we progress, because the way Clemson has played, and I'm going to get to them a little bit later, but it could be interesting with teams like Miami and Florida State and Clemson. I have Notre Dame at number 9. I don't knock Notre Dame a whole lot for their loss week one against Miami, because I still thought they played very well. I thought their quarterback, C.J. Carr, played valiantly. So I have Notre Dame at number 9, which is actually up a spot, and they have Texas A&M this week in South Bend. Utah. I was too low on Utah. I got to admit it, guys. I had Utah at 22. That's a mistake. I've been watching this Utah team. I watched them in week one versus UCLA. Last week against Cal Poly, putting up 60 points. Utah, they have scored a combined 106 points in two games, which averages out to 53 points per game. When was the last time we talked about the explosivity of a Utah offense like this? I'm telling you guys, Devin Dampier, Jason Beck, that combination, who's the offensive coordinator in Salt Lake, that is going to be something to be reckoned with. And I was too low on Utah last week. But after watching Utah the last 2 weeks, Utah right now, through 2 weeks, top 10 team, without a doubt. I have Texas at 11. They've actually fallen. That week one performance against Ohio State defensively was solid. Offense, eh. And then offense this last week in week two, not entirely impressive. So I dropped Texas a couple of spots. I have them at 11. Illinois, they got a big win versus Duke in week two, putting up 45 points. I actually bumped them up a couple of spots to number 12. They were ranked, I believe, number 14. Yeah, they were ranked number 14 in my PK poll last week. Really like what I've seen from Illinois through 2 weeks. Tennessee. I can't help myself. I was at the Tennessee game in week two versus ETSU. I watched the entirety of the game as they took on Syracuse in week one. Guys, the early returns of the Joey Aguilar-Nico Iamaliava trade, it looks like Tennessee is the winner. And granted, that's just early returns, but Joey Aguilar looks to be able to operate the offense much more smoothly than Nico did, at least through 2 weeks. Again, I can't emphasize that enough, but they have a real challenge. They welcome Georgia to town, a team that Josh Heupel is yet to beat during his tenure as the head coach at Tennessee. Will they pull it off? We'll certainly preview that later. South Carolina, I dropped. They were 8 last week. I dropped them to number 14, and that is because they have not been able to get Lenora Sellers going to the level that they would hope that they would be able to. And I still believe in South Carolina. I still think they're a really good team. That's why I have them ranked inside the top 15, but they just haven't been able to get him going. And the more I look at that Virginia Tech week one game, the more questions I have kind of surrounding South Carolina. That doesn't mean I don't think that they're a good team. They are. But when will they be able to get Lenora Sellers going to the level that they hope? They have Vanderbilt, another game that we're going to preview. USF. I openly admitted on Twitter that I made a mistake not ranking USF last week. It was a fault of my own. I have nobody to blame but myself, so I am justifying things. I have USF at number 15. That speaks for itself. They just went into Gainesville and beat Florida. They beat Boise State in week one, and now they get Miami in week three. It's rare that we see teams kind of level up opponents throughout the first 3 weeks of the season like they are doing. So I have USF at 15, Iowa State at 16. They're number 18 last week, so kind of around the same spot. Really like Rocco Becht. Really like this Iowa State team. They're off to a 3-0 start. Missouri, a team that was not ranked, they beat Kansas in the border brawl. Well, for whatever reason, ESPN was referring to this game as the border showdown. I don't know what that garbage is about, but we will refer to Kansas and Missouri by no other name than the border war. So that is a. It was a very impressive performance by Missouri. And news came out of Columbia recently that Sam Horn, their quarterback, is out for the season he's going to undergo leg surgery. So it's the Bo Pribula show. I'm high on Missouri. And honestly, I think this is about right at 17. And they have a very workable schedule. So maybe they could climb these rankings. All right. Vanderbilt. They make their first appearance on the PK poll at number 18, put up 45 points against Charleston Southern in week one. They, we talked about this on the last show, outgained Virginia Tech last week by 300 yards in the second half. So far, through two games, this is the most impressive start I've seen from Vanderbilt in a long time. And they have South Carolina this week. And Vanderbilt literally emptied out Lane Stadium in the second half versus Virginia Tech, a team that South Carolina previously played and only beat by 13 points. But what Vanderbilt did to Virginia Tech in that second half is borderline. Actually, no, it's not borderline. It is. It's clear assault. So we're going to see these two teams square off in Columbia. So I have Vanderbilt at 18, and the fact that they only received one vote to be ranked in the AP poll is just complete and total hot trash. So that's part of the reason why the AP poll is catching so much slack, because they have people who are actually voting that don't actually watch the games. It's criminal. It is evidence of drug use that Vanderbilt was not ranked on the last AP poll. Just ridiculous. I have Auburn at 19. Auburn was really impressive week one versus Baylor, and last week they had a cupcake game, but Jackson Arnold showed signs of he looked good passing the football, and that's what they didn't necessarily have week one versus Baylor. They relied a lot on the running game, and I don't think that is going to be a way in which Auburn can survive the gauntlet of an SEC schedule if they're just running the football. They have to be able to pass, and they did. Now, granted, it was a cupcake, but I'm very high on Auburn. Number 20, we have Mississippi State, another team that the AP poll, for whatever reason, did not choose to rank. I did, because their win versus Arizona State at home, impressive, speaks for itself. I have Mississippi State at 20. Clemson, this is the team that fell the most, because I had them at I had them at number 9, I believe. Yeah, number 9 last week. But they barely survived against Troy. They were actually trailing Troy. I think it was 17-0 at one point, Troy. Just about as unimpressive as a win as it gets. So I have Clemson at 21. They fell for obvious reasons, even though they are 1-1. I have Texas Tech at 22. The offense has looked really good for Texas Tech throughout two games. They were at number 23 last week, so they're up a spot. USC makes their debut. USC, they've played Missouri State and Georgia Southern, but they are putting up points. And Jaden Maiva, looks really good. Another team I think the AP poll should have ranked. Alabama's at 24. I believe I was too high on Alabama last week, given their performance in week one versus Florida State. I had them ranked at 17, which was another mistake on my part, so I fixed it. Now, they did look good against UL Monroe. The quarterbacks at least looked really, really good. So did Jeremy Bernard. But I can't get that week one loss, that I can't get that taste out of my mouth. So I have Alabama at 24, and then I have Texas A&M at 25. Texas A&M has kind of struggled with some easier opponents throughout the first 2 weeks. Still high on Mike Elko, still high on the talent that's there in College Station. So I have Texas A&M at 25. I'll put this out on Twitter for you all to see, so you could see physically, see a list. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get into some game previews. We'll get to that on the other side. You're listening to The Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, The Game. I had to play a little bit of Rocky Top. Who doesn't like a little Rocky Top? I know Alabama fans and Georgia fans don't, but still, who doesn't like Rocky Top? Welcome back into the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Big week for Tennessee as they host Georgia in week three. Usually this game is played a lot later in the year. This time last year, I believe Tennessee was gearing up for Kent State, and now they get Georgia in week three. Tennessee and Georgia played last year in mid-November, and now they're playing mid-September. So a little bit of an adjustment there, but this is going to be a raucous environment. Neyland Stadium is one of, and I'm going to go as far to say it is the loudest stadium in all the sports that I've ever been to. Neyland Stadium is going to be rocking on Saturday versus Georgia, and rightfully so. Tennessee Vols fans, they're very encouraged what they've seen from the offense. They're very encouraged from what they've seen from Joey Aguilar, who, to be honest, a lot of us didn't know what to expect. Him transferring from App State to UCLA, transferring to Tennessee after the whole Nico debacle went down. And he looks very good, at least through 2 weeks, running the offense out there. And it has been a drink of cold water, a breath of fresh air for Vols fans. And meanwhile, you have a Georgia team who has struggled with Austin Peay last week. And before that, they had Marshall. The offense, for whatever reason, has not come together all the way for them quite yet. But here's the thing. Georgia still has Kirby Smart on their sideline. They still have talent. They went out and they got two notable receivers from the portal. And Zachariah Branch from USC, who is about as electric as a firecracker. You have Noah Thomas, who is a 6'6" receiver from Texas A&M, transferred to Georgia. How is Gunnar Stockton going to be in the passing game? I think that is the biggest question for Georgia offensively. Is he going to get the tight ends involved? They haven't been able to get the tight ends involved to the extent that they hoped that they would. Georgia football has been one of the best in the country at utilizing their tight ends, especially over the last 4 to 5 years. That hasn't been the case through two games for them so far. How is it going to look versus Tennessee? I think their offense has not been vanilla through two games. Their offense is just that there's miscues. It's just not gelled all the way yet. However, their defense, I believe their defense has kept it very vanilla. And usually before big time games like this, Georgia defensively always likes to throw kind of a counterpunch, something that you're not necessarily expecting. And I totally expect that to happen versus Tennessee. Something that Tennessee does not see coming. This is going to be Joey Aguilar's first real test in the SEC. I don't think he's faced an opponent like this quite yet. He certainly didn't face anything like this at App State. No offense to the Mountaineers. How is he going to handle that? Also, the receivers for Tennessee, are they going to catch the football? There were a couple drops versus ETSU. I know health along the defense, really not just the defensive line, but the corners. Tennessee will be without both of their starting corners in Jermaud McCoy, who is still coming back from a knee injury that he suffered in the spring. So he is not suited up for the Volunteers yet, their preseason All-American at corner. Ricky Gibson he is also going to be, he's not going to be suited up for Tennessee in week three. So you're going to have to rely on some freshmen, some players that are not as experienced in the defensive scheme. And that's okay. They've been encouraged. This is going to provide an opportunity for guys to step up in a big-time game. They've been encouraged what they've seen from Ty Redmond, who is a freshman. Andre Turrentine at safety. Their linebacker core, really solid through 2 weeks. You have guys like Jeremiah Tealander and Arion Carter, who have been staples of that defense for the last two seasons. And obviously guys like Colton Hood, who transferred from Colorado. When we had Ryan Shumpert on our show, I believe this was a few weeks back, and we were talking about Tennessee. He covers the team for Rocky Top Insider. He was talking about Colton Hood, transfer from Colorado, has looked really good through 2 weeks. That's another name to keep an eye out for, Colton Hood. It's time to predict this game, because this is tough, because I've fallen in love from what I've seen from Tennessee through the first 2 weeks of the season. The offense is very reminiscent of what it looked like in 2022. Georgia has kind of struggled to put things together through 2 weeks. However, I look at this game and I look at the fact that Josh Heupel has not been able to beat Georgia yet. And this is the difference between has not and cannot. Just because Josh Heupel has not beaten Georgia yet doesn't mean that he can't. My heart really wants to pick Tennessee, but just my faith in Kirby Smart and knowing that Georgia is still Georgia, that block G means something, I'm picking Georgia to win this game. Now, if we're looking at the spread, Georgia is favored to win this game. The over-under win total is set at 49.5, and Georgia is favored -3.5. I think that that is pretty fair for how I expect this game to play out. I see Georgia winning by one possession. I do not think it'll be a blowout in any fashion. And for those that get to listen to this episode on Sunday when it airs on 102.5 The Game, if I get this pick wrong, I'm sure there are going to be tons of people laughing at me, but I guess that's just what happens when you record an episode on a Thursday and it airs on a Sunday. Those types of things just happen. All right, moving on to our next game. We have Texas A&M at Notre Dame, the second year of a home-and-home series. Last year, this game was played in week one of the regular season in College Station. It was a very tough, nitty-gritty game, tough on the lines of scrimmage, just how Marcus Freeman and Mike Elko would prefer it be. And Notre Dame won this game 23-13. And now we get to see them square off again in South Bend. Love this. I love this spot. If you're Texas A&M, you better be thankful that you're going to up to South Bend in September, in mid-September, instead of late in November. That is going to be, I think that provides an advantage to Texas A&M. Notre Dame, they did not play last week after their week one loss against Miami. So they are very rested. They have had an extra week of preparation. Texas A&M is 2-0, but they haven't looked like I was hoping that they would look in week one versus UTSA and then last week versus Utah State. They won both of those games by 20 or more points, or that week one game, they won by 18, but last week versus Utah State, they won by 22. So here's the thing with this game. I want to know, much like last year, what do the lines of scrimmage look like? What does the run game look like? Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price did not get a lot of touches in week one when they played Miami. Texas A&M, I said this in the preseason, that I believe with the stable of running backs that they have and the depth on the offensive line, I believe they have a chance to be one of the best, if not the best, rushing attack in the SEC. How does Notre Dame's defensive line kind of push back against Texas A&M's offensive line in that run game? Because Miami straight up bullied them in week one. Now, I think Miami has one of the best offensive lines in the country, but does Texas A&M? That's going to be something to look out for. And the same can be said on the flip side. Does Jeremiah Love get more touches in this game? Does Jadarian Price get more carries in this game? How does that Notre Dame, how does the continuity on the offensive line look? And does Texas A&M's defensive line have a counterpunch? I think the lines of scrimmage are going to tell a lot in this game. Also, the health in the secondary for Notre Dame. I know they had some secondary injuries in week one versus Miami. How does the health of the secondary look? How does CJ Carr look in his second start? Now that he's got his first start under his belt, he was playing in Miami, a tough environment. He gets a home game, but they welcome in a pretty notable opponent in Texas A&M. Looking at the odds for this game, Texas A&M is favored, or excuse me, Notre Dame is favored to win this game at -6.5. The over-under win total is also set at 49.5. I like Notre Dame to win this game. I trust Marcus Freeman in this game. I like that the fact that they are at home. I still have some questions about Marcel Reed that I want to see answered. But as of right now, I'm going to pick Notre Dame. All right, we're going to head to another break. When we come back, we have some more games to preview, and you're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to The Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Very fitting song for a very notable game that is being played this week, as Miami is gearing up to host USF. Believe it or not, this game is actually being aired on the CW network. How many of you guys actually have the CW network? That would be a question that I'd want an answer to. Miami and USF, the number 18 team versus the number 5 team, a ranked versus ranked matchup being aired on the CW network. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, but this is the world we live in. This is probably the best thing that's ever happened to the CW network, by the way. Okay, I want to start out by saying that it is no fluke that USF is in this position. Their head coach, Alex Golish, is going to be the top of the leaderboard for when Power Four schools come calling when they're looking for a new head coach. Alex Golish is going to be right up at the top. Also, John Sumrall at Tulane, he's going to be up at the top as well. Both of those coaches have very, very bright futures and will be in the Power Four very, very soon. But it is no fluke that USF is in this position. They've had high-quality games in the past couple of years. Most notably, they had a home-and-home with Alabama the last couple of seasons, and both of those games were very close. So that should have been signs that USF was on the upswing as a program. And they haven't had bad teams in the past. If you remember Quentin Flowers, he's a very electric quarterback for USF. And now USF, they have Bynum Brown, who I love watching. Very fun player to watch. But it should not come as a shock that USF is in the position that they are. And they get Miami. They have to go to Miami. So we've seen with USF that each week through the first 3 weeks of the season has gotten progressively harder and harder. You have Boise State. They came in at number 25, but they had that game at home in Tampa. Then they were on the road at Florida, and then they're on the road at Miami. So they don't leave the state of Florida for the first 5 weeks of the season. They don't leave the state of Florida until October 10th, in which they go to the University of North Texas. So that's a pretty cool thing for USF. But Miami, I'm so high on Miami after the first 2 weeks of the season. I've been high on Carson Beck. I was still high on Carson Beck last year, despite all the turnovers, despite the rough up and down year for him. This is a kid that we were talking about being the potential number one overall pick in last year's draft. Those were the types of conversation that we were having about Carson Beck. It was either about him being a first-round pick or holding up the Heisman Trophy in New York at the end of the year. But after last year, people just seem to forget that those conversations happen. I believe the talent is still there with Carson Beck. I believe I had him ranked in my preseason top 10 quarterbacks list. I had him at number 8. Like, I still believe in Carson Beck. I still believe he's a great talent. I was really impressed by Miami from what I saw on the lines of scrimmage in the Notre Dame game. Offensively, defensively. And this is tough because USF has been a great story. And I still think that they're going to be in conversations throughout the season, because if USF happens to lose this game, that's not necessarily going to change how I view them unless they get absolutely stomped. I don't see that happening. But if they lose this game, I'm not really going to look at USF differently, because I believe that they've just had tough opponents in the first 3 weeks of the season. I think Miami is going to be able to do what they want in the trenches. I believe they're going to be able to throw the football with Carson Beck. I believe they're going to be able to run it as well, because that opens up so many opportunities with that offensive line that they have. I am going to pick Miami to win this game. But again, if USF loses, I'm not going to knock them a whole lot unless they get blown out. But I still think USF is going to be, they definitely have a fair shot at being the representative in the college football playoff as the Group of Five team. So I'm still very high on USF, clearly. Okay, LSU and Florida. Now, I thought this was going to be the game of the week. I thought this is going to be where game day happened to go to, but due to recent events that happened in Gainesville, it did not pan out that way. So now Florida, unranked according to the AP poll, also according to the PK poll, which I would argue is more important than the AP poll, they get to go to Baton Rouge and LSU. And I'm just going to be flat out honest. Just because Florida lost last week, for some reason, people think that they're just going to get absolutely boat raced, and that could happen. It very well. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But there's something about Death Valley at night, and it's not an understatement at all. There's something about Death Valley at night, or an overstatement, excuse me. This game is being played 6:30. On ABC. Fowler and Herb Street will be on the call for this. I'm telling you, this is a significant advantage in favor of LSU, because it is no joke, Death Valley at night. It literally sounds like two jet engines next to your ears taking off. That's what it sounds like. And LSU's offense, how is it going to look versus Florida's defense? Because Garrett Nussmeier may be the most talented quarterback in the country. He may be the first or second quarterback picked in next year's draft, depending on what happens with Lenore Sellers. How is LSU's offense going to look? Is it going to be explosive like it was last year? How is the defense going to be able to control the passing game of DJ Lagway? Just because the passing game wasn't present in large amounts last week versus USF doesn't mean that it can't be. I still think DJ Lagway is one of the most talented quarterbacks, one of the most talented deep ball throwers in America. So that's still a very real factor in this game. How is the secondary of LSU going to hold up in that challenge? I think LSU is going to win, because if you're Florida, you really couldn't afford to lose that USF game last week. Now you're going to be, you're in wounded animal mode. And your wounded gator mode, and you have to play at LSU. You can't really afford, you might be able to afford one more loss, but if you lose any more than that, a 9-3 Florida with that schedule, I would argue has a legit shot of getting in the playoff. But who knows? Who knows? There were several 9-3 teams that were left out of the playoff last year. I like LSU to win this game, and Florida will fall to 1-2, and the conversations in Gainesville will be toxic if Florida drops to 1-2. But I like LSU to win this game. All right, we have one more segment to go here on the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. I'm going to go through the list of underrated games, and I'm also going to make picks, but I'm going to go through the list of underrated games that you need to be watching this weekend. You're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Final segment here on the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Have another great slate of college football games this Saturday. I want to give you some sleeper games that you're going to want to be on the lookout for that you may not realize that I think have a chance of being really good games. I'm also going to make some picks. Okay, the first of which, and I've talked about this on the show before, because in the preseason, I predicted that this would be the ACC championship game matchup. That is Clemson and Georgia Tech. This is being played in week 3, so it could be a preview. It could not be. Who knows how the ACC is going to shake out this year with how Miami has looked through 2 weeks, how Florida State has looked, how Clemson has looked. I think Georgia Tech is a really, really good team. I've been high on Georgia Tech, clearly. I didn't have them ranked in this week's PK poll. I consider them. They were on the outside looking in. But Clemson just has not looked how I thought they would through 2 weeks. And that loss in week 1 against LSU was a close loss. It was a hard-fought loss. It was very low scoring. And then last week, just seeing what happened versus Troy, I have some doubts going in. This game will be played in Bobby Dodd Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm very tempted to pick Georgia Tech, and I actually think I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with the Ramblin' Wreck to beat Clemson at home in week 3. Give me Georgia Tech over Clemson. I just have a feeling about this game. And if I'm wrong, everybody's going to hear this on Sunday after the games are over, and I'm going to look like a total clown. That's okay. That's kind of the risk you take when you put yourself out there and make picks like this publicly. But let me say, if you're making fun of me for getting picks wrong, make sure that it's okay if you do that as long as you show me your picks that you made for week 3. That's the only way it's allowed to fly. Okay, Vanderbilt and South Carolina, for whatever reason, we've been talking about this here since we are a radio station in Nashville. We talk about Vanderbilt all the time. But nationally, I do not, for whatever reason, this game is not being talked about. And I'm so interested to see how this plays out. Now, I really think Vanderbilt has a great shot of winning this game. And we have evidence on two teams. It's kind of been a round-robin style because Virginia Tech and South Carolina played in week 1. And then Vanderbilt played Virginia Tech. And then now Vanderbilt's going to play South Carolina. We have evidence of how these two teams fared versus a team like Virginia Tech. South Carolina only beat Virginia Tech 24-11. Vanderbilt beat them 44-20. I don't know if that's any indication of how this game is going to play out, but it's certainly an eye-popping thing to look at. So this game will be played at 6:45 on the SEC Network. Looking at the spread for this game, the over-under win total is at 49.5. South Carolina is favored by 3.5. Listen, I think this game has a chance to be even tighter than that. I think, just like I said with the Tennessee-Georgia game, I think the winner of this game only wins by one possession. Here's where my pick is kind of swayed. I don't want to doubt Diego Pavia because I know that he is going to use this as fuel in the future, but I'm picking South Carolina. South Carolina has not been able to get it going on offense, but I believe in Lenore Sellers. I believe in the talent that he has, and I grit my teeth while I say this because if I'm wrong, whew, but I just... And it would not shock me if Vanderbilt did win this game. It wouldn't at all. But I am picking South Carolina. And I do it begrudgingly. I pick South Carolina to win this game. How about Duke and Tulane? Duke going on the road to Tulane. Here's the interesting thing about this game. Tulane's quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, the transfer from BYU. Duke's quarterback, Darian Mensah, who was at Tulane last year. So Darian Mensah going back to New Orleans, going to Tulane to take on his former team. This is a primetime game, 7 p.m. on ESPN2. this is going to be interesting because the quarterback scenarios in this, the quarterback picture is just so, so interesting. So the over-under win total, according to ESPN Bet, 53.5. Tulane is actually favored, minus 125. I like Tulane to win this game. I'm very high. I think Tulane is right up there with USF in terms of representing the group of five in the college football playoff. I like Tulane. I'm gonna stick with my gut here. I'm going Tulane to win this game versus Duke. Two more games that I wanted to briefly get to before we wrap up the show here. Minnesota is going on the road to Cal. This is a, if you stay up late, if you're a diehard like me, you're going to watch this game, 9:30 on ESPN. Minnesota at Cal. I do think the travel is going to play a factor in this for Minnesota. I think Cal is going to win this game. They're going to get off to a 3-0 start. I love Cal's quarterback. We refer to him as JKS on this show because I don't know how to pronounce his game, and you probably don't either. But I really like him. He didn't have a great week last week, but he did in week one versus Oregon State. Minnesota having to travel three time zones to take on Cal, I think that's going to play a factor, and I'm going to pick Cal to win this game versus Minnesota. The last one I wanted to get to, another underrated game in the SEC, some SEC conference matchups taking place this week. Arkansas at Ole Miss. I didn't have Ole Miss ranked this week after what I saw last week versus Kentucky. And their quarterback, Austin Simmons, is probable to play, but he suffered a lower body injury last week versus Kentucky. So he is probable to play, but who knows? It could be a nagging injury, and who knows if he's going to be even close to 100% in this game. I think Arkansas, if this game was being played at Arkansas, I'd probably pick Arkansas to win because Fayetteville at night is often referred to as Fayetnam for the uneducated. I'm just kidding. But this game is at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Oxford. I think this is a sneaky, sneaky game. I'm going to pick Ole Miss to win, but would not be surprised if Arkansas does. But I'm going to pick Ole Miss, and I think it is by a field goal. I think it is going to be very, very close. Okay, so that wraps up my week three picks and previews. Make sure that you are subscribed to the Game Nashville Sports Network podcast, wherever you get your fine listening materials. We do this every week. We do game recaps. We do game previews and picks. We do the PK poll each week. We do all that, winners and losers. Usually, I try to do three episodes a week. And usually, that third episode is a shorter episode where I do my best bets or something like that. This week, we will not have that just due to kind of the timing of everything. We have a lot going on here at the station. But I'll make sure to keep you updated on all of that. But please make sure that you're subscribed and you're following me on the socials. I have another episode for you next week recapping all that happened. And if I happen to look foolish, hey, we'll address all that here. But really appreciate you listening to The Air Raid with Parker Kelly. Take care. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the college football, and God bless.